B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. In just a minute, we're going to be joined by Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports Network. Lot going on in the NBA. Obviously, mm-hmm. we're going to circle back to this RFK stuff. And everything, Mayor Bowser seems pretty frustrated. I imagine the team's keeping quiet, but pretty frustrated themselves. Chase, what's up, dude? How about that SGA contract, man?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me on. And JP, I was hanging out with Mark Stern this weekend at the Mathis, so shout out to him, DMV Live.
Yeah, man.
Buzz Williams was there, Dwayne Simpkins, watching some of the best players in the area, so that was fun.
Love that.
For SGA, yeah, you look at the terms, you're like, oh, you know, $285 million or whatever. That's not too much. And then you realize it's for 4 years, and you do the math, and you're like, oh, wow.
$71.25 million
a year.
Yeah.
We're not too far away from $100 million per year for some of these deals.
Oh, yeah. It's coming real soon.
So,
real soon.
Based on that, I mean, just kind of looking at the math of it, who do you think is the first $100 million player? We're probably like 4 or 5 years away from that?
Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, you know, that's a great question. I haven't really thought about the couple years ahead, but what I have thought about, and the executive in the NBA pointed this out to me when Victor Wembanyama was drafted. He was like, think about how much money that guy's going to make in his career. He's probably going to top $1 billion in total salary. That doesn't include endorsements. And then now you look at Cooper Flagg, he's just starting that clock. If he ends up living up to expectations, he could make more than $1 billion in player salary if he has a long career and is a star. So, you know, we've seen some athletes reach that $1 billion mark, but usually it requires being really smart businessmen outside of their sport. Now they might be able to do that simply just by playing the sport.
Chase, answer we couldn't figure out. When a guy makes All-NBA, does it make a difference if his first, second, or third team, the amount of money that they can make?
Like the volume
or does everybody get the same thing?
Yeah, there's a few awards that allow you to make what's called the Supermax designated player extension. So you just got to make all NBA. Same thing. Or that was the case for John Wall and Bradley Beal. That's why they were able to get their big money. So, yeah, it's kind of an interesting dynamic because those awards are voted on by the media. So I don't currently have an award vote, but I did for a few years under this policy. And it was kind of a strange feeling when you submit that ballot. You're like, man, this could have an enormous effect on a certain player's earning power.
So, like, I remember Beal only made third-team All-NBA once. He got the same level of Supermax as, like, Durant or Curry or somebody, right?
Yeah, yeah, he got the full max.
Why? That don't make much sense to me.
And well, what's crazy, too, is it's all about the timing. Both him and John Wall made it once, but they made it at the perfect timing when they were up for what was set to be their biggest opportunity to sign one of those massive deals. They got all NBA, like, just in time.
Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy. I almost wonder if there's some – who knows, man. So as we look at our Wizards, I think me and B are both really excited about Trey Johnson, and a lot of it might have been a video you posted. I watched a video online of him just raining threes for like 45 seconds. Everybody says he's the best shooter in the draft. I am really excited about that pick. I'll be honest, though. When they drafted the kid Clayton from Florida, I was really excited, and they promptly traded him.
Even as a Maryland fan.
Dude, I mean, the kid's a killer. He's just a straight three-point assassin. Take us through what you thought of the draft and kind of what, if anything, we're expecting here in free agency for the Wiz.
Well, I thought the draft worked out really well for the Wizards in the sense that Trey Johnson was there at six. I didn't think he was going to be. And usually my instincts have proven pretty good over the years when I see a guy who, oh, that guy's not going to make it out of the top five. And I went on a lot of radio shows in this town saying I think he'd be perfect for the Wizards. I just don't think he'll be there at six. But Ace Bailey unexpectedly went fifth. That paved the way for Trey Johnson to fall to six. And I think he fits in perfectly with the Wizards needed long term, which is offense and shooting. You know, they were 30th in offense last year. They weren't much better defensively. But you can sort of see where they're going defensively because some of the draft picks they've made with Bilal Coulibaly and Alex Saar. They hadn't really brought in someone with this much production on the offensive side who has this high of a ceiling long-term, in my opinion. I mean, I think he's not only the best shooter in this draft, but probably one of the best prospects as a outside shooter that we've seen come into the draft in the last several years, because if you really break down his shooting, he basically has zero weaknesses. I mean, he's extremely good from the corners, half court, transition, off the catch, off the dribble. What impressed me the most is what he shot from NBA range last year, which of course is a little bit beyond the college 3-point line, just under 40% on 200 attempts. So this is a guy who's not going to have to make that adjustment that a lot of young guys have to make. You hear it just about every year from rookies. They're like, yeah, it doesn't seem like a big difference, but it is in terms of muscle memory and the strength that you have to build to be able to shoot from that range, especially late in games if you played a lot of minutes. He's kind of already there, so I think his shooting's going to translate very quickly.
Chase, you're around it and you cover it on a consistent basis. Are they closer than what we may think? Because on the outside looking in, they seem to be a little far away. But you see them adding these pieces over the last 2 to 3 years now. And are they closer than what we think?
I think yes and no. I don't think they're close to contending, and GM Will Dawkins has said that on the record. He said at the end of last season. But what I would say, now that the Wizards are undergoing this rebuild, I've gone back and studied some of the rebuilds that have worked. And usually they don't work overnight. It's not very quick. But what you realize in hindsight is that some of the pieces that ended up carrying them to contention were collected early on, and maybe you didn't realize they were there. Like, for instance, comparing the timelines, like where the Wizards are in their rebuild compared to last time, they already had John Wall and Bradley Beal on the roster. They had just drafted Bradley Beal. The Oklahoma City Thunder, who just won a title, like at this point in their rebuild, they had just drafted Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams. The Rockets already had Alperen Şengün and Tari Eason. So I think you got to get these young guys in your program, and it takes them a long time to develop. But odds are, if the Wizards are contending, 2 years from now, the core of that team is already on the roster, and we should see them playing together in the summer league, which is going to make the games out in Las Vegas very exciting.
Do you get to go out there for that?
Oh yeah, every year, Vegas in July.
I might have to come out there and hang out with you.
You need
it's
a Vegas trip,
year.
D.
I need a Vegas trip, dog. Seriously.
But I
understand when you say contending, but I'm at least winning. Okay, when is that going to happen? Because listen, if you start winning now, at least you give the fan base something to pull for. But if you're just losing and then all of a sudden you say you're going to be contending in a certain amount of years, you make people kind of turn it off.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're going into year three under the new front office, and I think they are very well aware that after this season, their first-round pick is top eight protected. It's still tied to the John Wall-Russell Westbrook trade. So what that means is if they got the ninth, tenth pick, anything later than that, they'd have to forfeit their first-round pick. So that is something to keep in mind. But this team now has eight first-round picks over the last 3 years. A couple of them were acquired via trade. So they've got a lot of young players on the team. And I think when you have a quantity of young players like that, then you are just increasing the odds that you're going to hit on one or two of them. And so with so many young guys, their ceilings being high, you just never know when someone could make a pretty significant leap forward. And all it would take is two or three to really change the big picture outlook for this team. Amen Thompson last year for the Rockets or Dyson Daniels for the Hawks, those guys took enormous leaps forward. And all of a sudden, the picture changes. So you can't rule that out for the Wizards. They've got a lot of young guys. And I think that's what they're banking on. It's just the quantity of young players. And their hope is that some collection of them will take a step forward next season. And whether it's the playoffs after this coming year, maybe it could set the stage for success the season after that.
Talking with our friend Chase Hughes here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. You can give Chase a follow at Chase DC Sports. You can read and watch all of his work at monumentalsportsnetwork.com. Covering the Wizards, does it all. Going to go out to Vegas for Summer League here in a couple weeks. Tell us about the other first rounder, the kid Riley. One thing that's obvious is they like positional size, and what Riley has that Clayton didn't in the trade back is size. I mean, is he a legit 6'8", but still a shooter? Tell us about this young man.
Yeah, so he's 6'8 and a half without shoes. So he's going to be like about 6'10 on the court as a wing. And so he's got the size, and he's also got the motor. He plays with a lot of energy. And he showed some skill last year, I think, offensively. But this is really about, I think, just the size, the athleticism, and the intangibles. Because he was a top 10 recruit coming out of high school, and he was the Big Ten sixth man of the year, so he was pretty productive last year, but he didn't exactly light the world on fire. And so I think what the Wizards are banking on is, you know, maybe 3 years from now, he can realize that potential and become a diamond in the rough. And, you know, when I think about him as a prospect, I think about just something that sort of crystallized for me the last few years watching the NBA. And that is, if you're bigger and more aggressive than the guy guarding you, then oftentimes you're going to be tough to stop. And I think that goes underrated for some guys who are much bigger than him. But, you know, Nikola Jokic, Alperen Şengün, I would put Luka Doncic in this conversation. You know, some guys that may not, you know, wow you with their athleticism. They're not jumping very high. They're not playing above the rim. But they're bigger and they're more aggressive than everyone who guards them. So they're a matchup nightmare. Mm-hmm. And I think Will Riley could tap into that and maybe be a guy who, you know, you just don't want to put a smaller player on because he's going to make them pay for it.
So a little bit of breaking news. I don't know if you saw this because you're on the phone with us. Excuse me. Miles Turner just signed with the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
Considering Tatum's hurt, Halliburton's hurt, Giannis isn't, does that, one, keep Giannis in Milwaukee, and two, are they kind of the favorite in the East now?
Yeah, that's a surprise. I mean, Rick Carlisle and the Pacers were very clear that they wanted to re-sign him. And then you see Brooke Lopez leave, I believe, for the Clippers. So that sort of leaves a hole in the front court of the Milwaukee Bucks, and they get a guy who's younger who can do a lot of the same things, which is shoot threes, block shots, didn't have a great NBA Finals, but had a great postseason overall. So, yeah, that I think is – I think what you said is very accurate about the Eastern Conference. Whether they're the favorites, I might stop short of that. I think Cleveland still is due some respect. I think they got some moves up their sleeve. New York is good. But this certainly elevates Milwaukee despite the Damian Lillard injury. We'll see if he can come back in time to play in the playoffs. But they got Giannis. They got Miles Turner, a borderline all-star. That's not bad.
Is that move up Cleveland's sleeves? Is the initials LJ?
Yeah. Maybe there'd be two LJs in that trade. I feel like it might be a package deal.
How serious is any of the LeBron talk moving?
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty serious. You know, I would point to Rich Paul's statement that he gave ESPN saying, you know, we enjoyed our time here, but essentially, he wants to hear more about the direction because he wants to compete for a championship. So, you know, I don't think those guys do anything by accident. I think they're pretty calculated. Rich Paul's pretty smart. He's been doing this for a long time. So that, to me, said a lot about what their intentions are. But it's been kind of a slow start to free agency and on the trade front. And, you know, Shams Charania of ESPN was saying he thinks it's going to be a blockbuster trade period. And we haven't seen that yet. Certainly a LeBron James deal would qualify as a blockbuster.
Yes, indeed.
You actually think he'll get moved again? And does Bronny have to come with him?
that's the other LJ I was referring to, yes.
Yeah.
I would imagine so. Now, I don't know where they would go. I mean, I've seen some of the speculation about Cleveland. That'd be a cool, like, full circle moment, certainly. And Cleveland is really good already, but they fell short in the playoffs. They can't get out of the second round. So, I mean, the Eastern Conference is wide open. I feel like there are a few teams that he could definitely take to the next level if he went east.
I did want to ask you just quickly while we have you, kind of where are you on the RFK Stadium stuff?
I thought it was pretty likely to happen, and now I keep seeing these interviews and comments from people like you who know much more than me about maybe there being some doubts. So I feel like it'll still get done. It seems like there's a lot of momentum pointing towards the deal, and sometimes leverage, you can never really tell who's telling the truth. So I'm hopeful that it will get done because, you know, I go to FedEx like once a year, and I usually have fun when I go. But as I understand, it gets a lot better than that if you travel around the country to different NFL stadiums, as you guys have.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Dan, more from Shams here, Chase. He's saying the Bucks are waiving Dame.
Wow.
And that's how they're making space for the Miles Turner deal. Damn.
Yeah,
they traded for Dame thinking that was the move to get him to the, you know what I mean?
He tore the Achilles.
Oh, yeah. He's done. I thought it was a perfect fit when they did it. Hopefully Dame can get back to 100%, man. I love watching that guy play. Hopefully this is not the final chapter for him.
This Achilles thing, is that something they're not focusing on? Because there's been a lot of Achilles tears in the last couple of years, 3-4 years with the NBA.
No, it's definitely something they're focusing on. Adam Silver, the commissioner, said that the other day. He was interviewed during the draft by ESPN. He said they're taking a close look at it. They've got a team of experts. Obviously, you know, you got to try to prevent these injuries. Thankfully, some players have come back from it successfully. I mean, Kevin Durant is a great example. Breonna Stewart in the WNBA. But it's still such a catastrophic injury. It doesn't offer any guarantees. And now you've got Tyrese Halliburton, Jason Tatum, Damian Lillard, you know, a good collection of star players that move the needle in terms of ratings. So I think it's pretty clear they got to figure something out. I don't know what the answer is, but they're hopeful to find it.
I tell you what, some of these damn shoes that are coming out, the shoes look good, but you better make sure they can deal with the different cuts and all and the surface that they're on.
Dude, I heard this on Van Pelt's podcast. This was crazy to me. Three dudes that wear zero blew out their Achilles.
Yeah.
Halliburton, Tatum, and Dame. Like, that's just bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just become a much more popular number nowadays because of Gilbert Arenas.
Damn right. All right, Chase, we're going to actually open the phones. We're all going to give our answer to this when we return, but I want to ask you a question here. Obviously, it's not imminent, right? But if you had to guess, who is the next Wizard to get a Supermax contract?
If I had to guess, I would say Bob Carrington. I think of the young guys he's shown the most, particularly in the offensive end. He's the most skilled young guy they have. And I think the ceiling's pretty high. People kind of discount it because of the athleticism. Maybe he's not an explosive above-the-rim athlete, but I would point to the NBA Finals and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Tyrese Halliburton and say that is the modern NBA guard who can score at all three levels, not necessarily dunk on somebody. So I think he fits that mold. Obviously, Supermax, he's got a long way to go, but that would be my guess.
Wow. All right. Like one it. Vote, Bub. Chase, thank you for making time,
right,
bro.
Chase,
really appreciate
you,
it.
Brother.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, man.
That's our boy Chase Hughes from Monumental Sports Network. You can give him a follow at Chase DC Sports. When we come back, we'll give you our answer. The next Wizard to get a Supermax contract. Is he even on the roster? Plus, we're going to take some calls. 800-636-1067. NBA offseason going nuts already. Nobody go anywhere. I just heard this on XM the other day. I was bumping it in the car. What is the XM station I like with old beats, Jeff? XL, maybe? Regardless.
I don't know what you listen to on XM, man.
There's like four different
hip-hop
stations.
Was it Shade 45?
Yeah, maybe that one. All right. It's B. Mitchell Finley. B's holding it down in the Navy Yard. I'm in Richmond, Virginia. I very much look forward to being home tonight. Really interesting question from Jeff. There's a lot of RFK stuff, some Terry McLaurin stuff. There's a lot I want to get to, but as NBA free agency is going nuts right now, the Bucks are really trying to get back in this thing to keep Giannis. They signed Miles Turner, and they've waived Dame Lillard. Obviously, a huge change with Durant going to Houston, a pretty good Rockets team. A lot of moving parts, but here in Washington – yeah, our Wizards are probably not that close to competing, let's be honest. So Jeff had an interesting idea as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander this morning got the richest deal in NBA history. He got a Supermax contract. It's going to make more than $70 million per season for 4 years. 4 years, $285. Good God. Jeff asked, who's the next Wizard to get a Supermax? And the only thing I'll say is, they don't necessarily have to be on the roster right now. The last Wizard to get a Supermax was Brad Beal, and it was a bad deal for Washington, clearly. B, you could start. You got Trey? All right, I'll start.
I said I went with Trey.
Okay, I didn't hear you. You're going with Trey.
I mean, Jeff, you know, just don't turn me on my mic on sometimes.
So you're going with Trey Johnson.
Yep.
I think I am too, man. And it's kind of crazy that we're both saying that in that they took a kid number two overall last year and neither of us are saying Alex Saar.
Because this league, I mean, yes, you got big men in this league, but this league is about guys who can just do multiple things and can fill it up. If you can shoot like he shoots, you're going to get a Supermax very soon.
So Trey Johnson hasn't taken, you know, hasn't had an NBA shot yet. He was just drafted last week at the University of Texas. He can really shoot, though, and it's a make-or-miss league, and that kid makes them. To get a Supermax deal, you got to have an all-NBA season. Chase Hughes just joined us from Monumental Sports Network, covers the Wizards day in, day out. He said he thinks Bub could get there.
I like Bub, man.
I do, too. But does he seem like an all-NBA player to you?
Bub does multiple things, dog. And I know Chase said about the athleticism, but the game I went to, he flushed it on somebody. So he got that, too. He's just he does everything else, but he has some explosiveness. And I think if Bub knows he can get extra money if he gets it, he's going to start flushing on some other people.
Bub's only 19.
Hey.
And what's crazy is Bub on an NBA court seems like a shorter dude. He is 6'4".
Yeah. But when you look at the guys on the court, like Steph. Steph looked like he's about 5'10 when he's out there on the basketball court. Till you walk up next to him and you realize, oh, man, they do this tall.
Right, right. All right, so I'm voting Trey. B is voting Trey. Chase Hughes voted for Bub. Jeffrey, who you got? Wizard to get the next Supermax.
I'm stuck between two people. I want to say A.J. Johnson is going to get it together. He had some flashes last season that I liked. I think I'm going to have to go with Trey, too. It's just I only say Trey because I don't see no one on the team shooting the ball like him. I'm going to say A.J. gets it done. A.J. Johnson.
You mean Trey Johnson?
No, A.J. Johnson. He came over from Milwaukee, number 5.
I sure. Okay. That's...
I'm like, is this Trey's real name?
Trey's real name, I think, is Richard Earl.
Yeah, something like that.
You're saying A.J. Johnson is a Supermax player, Jeff?
Yeah, he's all right. He was just young. He got to get some time. It's okay. Hey, Steph was in the league a long time before he broke out.
I like going somewhere else. Yeah, you know me, Jeff. I support zigging when the world is zagging. This seems like a hell of a zig, though, dog.
Yeah.
Bro, he just got on the team. He's 20 years old.
What was he drafted?
He's a first rounder. He was 23rd overall pick. But here's my question. He was in the NBA for a year. He played like 30 games, I think, but he only shot like 25% from three.
No, he's going to adjust. From what I seen last year, I wouldn't let that dictate what I think about him.
Okay.
Cool. One vote, A.J. Johnson. Jeff definitely zigged right there. Let's go to our guy Strober, who's in today, Locked On Wizards podcast. Strober, let's start with what do you think of Jeff's assertion that A.J. Johnson could be an all-NBA player?
Well, A.J. Johnson is an athletic freak, and we definitely saw the flashes of what he can do when he got his time on the court. I think he'll get a lot more of an opportunity this year. And if you think about it, this Wizards team is going to have 5 first-round picks from a year ago on the roster this year with the addition of Dylan Jones over the weekend. A.J. Johnson, he's a player. He can definitely ball, and he can jump out the gym maybe better than anyone on this team other than Bilal Coulibaly. So to answer your question about that, I think he's going to be a really talented player. I don't know what his role is going to look like here in Washington long term. It's a bold pick from Jeff, but
Jeff's a bold fella.
This guy's got potential to be a star player for sure. So I can live with that pick. Jeff, I like it actually.
Hey, I like Jeff, it. I got a text and somebody told me to tell you stop getting high before work.
Bro, we watched this dude give moves on the wing, attack the basket and put that on somebody's head. We watched him shoot the ball. He's 20 years old. He just got traded to the team. He's going to come into his role more, and he probably will. Hey, look.
Bub is younger and scored more.
Y'all said the same thing, but he's also been with the team longer. Like, he's known in that system. But look.
They were both rookies.
They came in together.
Yeah, but he was in Milwaukee.
Yeah, AJ was
for
traded.
No, I'm saying, but still, first rounder.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if I drafted someone, he's been with the team since the offseason. He's going to get more playing time. He's more in that role. But all I'm saying is, hey, we just got to watch and see how it played out. It happened the same thing when I called the Texans and y'all said I was crazy. So we're going to leave it. We're going to let it play out.
He's got to bulk up. He's got
Jeff
the
very
Emmanuel
good
Forbes
at
build
remembering
right now.
The few things that are correct.
Yeah.
You called the Texans. Was that 3 years ago, Jeff?
I called the Texans and I called the Commanders this year. Yeah, y'all were saying I had Ashburn syndrome.
But you've been calling the Commanders every year since I've
been here. Yeah, so all the time you were wrong.
Nah. That's like Barstool Nate talking about, oh, he was right about Jaden. Well, he also said the same stuff about Wentz.
I never agree with Wentz, so I can't laugh at that.
All right, Strober, who's the Supermax?
To go against what you guys picked, I actually do have the former number 2 overall pick, Alex Saar, coming into his own and becoming a Supermax player. I think at his size and his skill set, he just scratched the surface in the second half of the year last year, and overall, he shot at 30% from three. I think he can get a lot better around the perimeter. His touch around the rim is what intrigued me the most because he got better and better at that as the season went on, and he's an A-plus defender, and he's going to continue to be a force around the rim for this Wizards team. A block and a half per game last year, that's something he can get up as well, and because he can contribute so well on both sides of the ball, that's why I could see a guy that becomes an all-NBA type player and gets a Supermax.
Doesn't Strober sound like he's doing a broadcast every time he talks?
Yeah, dog. Strober's good on this stuff. I think the answer should be Saar, right? Like, if we have to predict who's going to get the Supermax, it should be the seven-footer number 2 overall pick.
Right.
Like, that should be who it is.
Should be.
Who led them in plus-minus last year? I know Saar was pretty good. Wasn't he like a +3 or something?
I'd have to double check on that.
It's hard to quantify the defensive impact outside of like blocks, but I think plus minus does a good job of that. Nobody said Bilal. Kind of interesting. Like if we're talking athletic freaks that can jump out of, you know what I mean? Like he has all those tools. He's super long.
I love Bilal. It's just.
You love AJ Johnson more.
And Bilal has to finish the season for us, man.
I just think Bilal seems to be like. Wasn't that Wimby's boy? He seemed to be like the guy who was drafted with just Wimby's sidekick.
I think last year they shut him down to keep the tank going. Like, I think, you know, if this was 2 years from now when they're not in full tank mode, Bilal keeps playing, or at least comes back from the injury.
We will see.
Dude, if you had to pick B, within the next 5 years, the Wizards will have a Supermax player. And your options are that player is currently on the roster or that player exists elsewhere. Which one would you take of those?
I'm going to probably go with the player being on the roster right now.
I'm just saying, OKC traded for SGA, Indy traded for Halliburton.
Yeah.
Like, I think I go off the roster.
I'm going to stick on the roster. I think they got a lot of faith in the people they chose.
B is sticking to the roster. Jeff is sticking to the Johnson. We're talking T.J. Watt, Terry McLaurin, RFK State.
We got to
go to break. Jeff, you're always telling me break on time,
stop
man.
Stop that.
Why are you interrupting?
I will stop the break for now. I'm not on no Johnson, okay? Thank you.
Did you or did you not just take Johnson?
Hey, go to break, JP.
Please go to break.
We'll be right back.
B. Mitch here. Thanks to the Law Tigers, I'm now a licensed rider. This summer, every journey is going to be an adventure, and I feel great knowing the Law Tigers have my back. They're more than lawyers. They're riders, too, always knowing what injured riders and their families are going through. So be sure to mark your calendars for Saturday, July 12th. On a hot day, the coolest place to be will be at Harley-Davidson of D.C. for their Grill and Chill event. The Law Tigers, the motorcycle lawyers. Visit them at lawtigers.com. Caffis and Nachman, Olivia Donahue.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. More updates coming out of Milwaukee. So the Bucks just signed Miles Turner with Halliburton down and Tatum down. You kind of think, okay, you get Giannis healthy. The Bucks are a real contender in the East. Then the Bucks waived Dame Lillard. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, he's hurt and probably going to miss a year. But now there's a report from Chris Haynes from ESPN. Says, breaking news, Milwaukee Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'm terrible at pronouncing this.
Antetokounmpo.
Yeah, there you go. Giannis is not pleased with the team's decision to waive Damian Lillard.
Well, he already got his brother on the team. God, no.
You didn't mention this to Giannis, that you were going to cut him? I don't know.
Could be a problem.
Could be a problem. Dude, if my Supermax player is on the Wizards roster or is somewhere else, I'm taking somewhere else all day. If I get the field or the current roster, give me the field.
You think Giannis coming?
We got Greek food, B.
Yeah.
We got Greek food. We'll try to sneak a couple calls in on this, 800-636-1067. Strober, I don't know if you had somebody on there or not. If you do, pot them up. If not, I think as they are, like, making all these moves, and everybody talks about the OKC model, like, they traded for their superstar, you know?
Yeah.
That's why you want – there's a reason they want all these 6'8 dudes.
Well, they traded for their superstar. They didn't have one on the roster. So maybe they feel that one of these guys on the roster could be that already.
Let's go to Greg in Springfield. Greg, who's going to be the Wiz next Supermax player?
I mean, to me, it's Sar all day long. He shot a lot of threes. He didn't make as many as you'd like. But NBA players just get better and better. He's still young. He's a 7-foot power forward that's going to be shooting threes and play defense and block shots. I think his potential is off the hook compared to everybody else. And there's good players. I like Bub a lot, and I think the new kid can play. But Sar could be – he could be the all-star they're looking for, I think. I think he just has that kind of potential.
All right.
That's a good call, dude. I mean, ideally – ideally, you're right, Greg. He's 7 foot. He was a number 2 overall pick, and he's only 20 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he does do it on both ends. Like, he plays pretty good defense. What did he shoot from 3 last year? I'm pulling it up. What do you think he shot from 3 last year, B?
I don't know. Probably in a 30%, 37.
No, lower than that. But honestly,
31.
Exactly, 30.8. It's better than I would have thought for a guy that's like as raw as he is. And I don't know. It'd be Sar is a hell of an interesting player, and I think there's good reason. I mean, last year he averaged 13-6, 40% from the field, 30% from 3. Like, if that continues and he improves to even like 35% from 3 with his size, Sar could be a real baller, man. That's an interesting one. Alex is in Silver Spring. Alex, who you got as the Wiz next Supermax?
Nobody. What's up, guys?
What's up, man?
Nobody. Let's be real. Not every team is good at drafting. You know what I mean? Let's be real. This is just one of those teams. And the other thing is the human nature. You know, a lot of these guys, I'm not saying the ones that are on the Wizards, this is just human nature of NBA, football. B-Mitch, you can speak on this. A lot of them just settle on just coming in the NFL, the NBA. All right, I made it. That's just half of the battle.
Yeah.
That's why JD5 is so impressive. Because he's hungry. In my opinion, human nature, SGA, he got cut or whatever, traded or whatever. He was already a backup in college. So that made him even more hungrier and gave him a wake-up call that he didn't even have to stop by Starbucks. You know what I mean? Hey, you're going to be out of this league real soon.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts that hungriness on human nature. Like for me, people doubt me on whatever I do. But they don't know is they make me hungrier. Or they said I can't do this or I can't do that. No problem. I'll stay humble and then show them with facts. Now, here's the other thing. You could say, all right, Alex, a bad team. Da-da-da, don't know how to draft or whatever. I got news for you. Remember the Patriots? The Patriots weren't good at drafting either. They just got lucky. They got lucky with Tom Brady. And then when Wes Walker was playing with a bad team like the Dolphins, he seen Wes burning them. And then they picked him up. And they would pick up other guys from other teams that were bad on bad teams. But
Alex, we got a boogie here, bro. Thank you for the call.
Appreciate it, brother. Right.
Yep.
Alex is very hungry. Go get some lunch, dog. it seems to me in the NBA, much like kind of most sports are getting this way, maybe not baseball, but like fewer and fewer real stars get to free agency because there's more money for them on the Supermax if they sign with their team.
Yeah.
And maybe they then get traded. I think you do see that. I think guys force trades in the NBA more than any other sport. But I would love if Sarr ends up being the guy. I don't know that he will, but I would love that. I would love if the Wiz end up with one of the guys they drafted and developed to be the guy. I liked Wall. I liked Beal. I don't want to downplay how good they were. But the last dude Washington had that was the guy they acquired in free agency, and it was Gilbert Arenas, and he was a little crazy.
Him and Tough Juice.
Yeah. You know why Gil decided to come to D.C.? He said he flipped a coin 50 times between staying in Golden State or coming to D.C., and that Golden State actually won the last flip, and that's what made him decide to go to D.C. If that ain't Gilbert Arenas, I don't know what is. Yeah. I want to switch to football. I want to switch to T.J. Watt. I want to switch to Terry McLaurin. We will do that next right here on The Fan. Nobody go anywhere.